I want you to look again, verse 26 of our text, where the Apostle Paul, in quoting our Lord Jesus, makes a very simple but profound statement. For as often, Paul says, as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now again, this is actually a reference to Jesus' own words, who said at that Last Supper, I will not drink the fruit of the vine with you till, same word, by the way, you'll see in verse 26, till the kingdom of God shall come, which highlights this often overlooked glory of our text. You see verse 26, well, what if the Apostle Paul had placed a period after the word death? Let's read it like that. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. What if that's all it said? Well, I can tell you this, for a lot of religions, a lot of denominations, for a lot of seminaries, that would be just fine with them. It fits their unbelief and it fits their apostasy. Jesus was just a good man who died, and the communion is just a ritual, a liturgy, and a tradition. However, that is not what it says, because what it says includes three additional words. Verse 26 again. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death, and here it is, till he come. Now, wait a minute. You realize that because of those last three words, not only did our Lord Jesus die, it says that, but he also clearly is alive and he is coming again. And of course, what that does is put the spotlight, if you will. It places the emphasis on one of the greatest words in all of Scripture. It's that little word Jesus used and Paul uses here. You'll notice till, T-I-L-L. Matter of fact, before we pray, I want you to circle that word and just turn a few pages ahead. Would you go to the book of Philippians very quickly? A few pages ahead in Philippians chapter number 1. And I want you to think about that word and that line, till he come. Philippians 1:10 and verse 9 says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense, here it is, till. You do all of this till the day of Christ. Till he come, till the day of Christ. In the book before this, Ephesians 4:13 says this, for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith. Look, it's just a little tiny word in the English language. Some people mistakenly think that it's an abbreviation of the word until, but it actually existed centuries before the word until. It is a distinct word that God often and strategically uses in Scripture as a reminder to his people of one great, glorious, incontrovertible truth. Genesis 49:10 says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh come. Revelation 2:25, Jesus said, that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. From Genesis to Revelation, and everywhere in between, God speaks to his people and sometimes uses this little word, till. And what it means to all of us here today is what I want us to consider very carefully this morning as we speak on the subject, just wait. Let's pray. Father, thank you for every word. You said, Lord, that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Thank you for this word. May we know and appreciate and understand as never before why it's in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whenever someone is cooking a great dinner and others in the home can smell the roast beef or the apple pie or the fried chicken or whatever, they might sneak in to take a look at it or even grab a bite of it, to which the cook may say, just wait. When someone's painting a portrait and the subject wants a glimpse, but he's not finished with it, that painter might as well say, just wait. If you are showing someone a video on your iPhone or your iPad and you're excited about it and the person's watching it but not realizing what surprise is coming, you might say to them, just wait. When Andrea Bocelli is singing Porta Valare and people are impressed with his voice but he hasn't gotten to the high notes yet, you might say, just wait. And so it is this morning that in our text, and again, and many others just like it, this little word, till, is full of meaning. It's full of deep theology and hope and glory. It is a reminder that God's people are always coming to something, and something is always coming to them. Just wait. Which, by the way, is also why the word till and the words just wait are not encouraging or reassuring or full of meaning to some in this room. Those words have no meaning at all. If anything, they are dread to anyone in this room and in this world who are and remain without Christ. Think about it for a moment. What did the word till mean to you when you were lost? Keep on laboring, keep on making money and climbing the ladder till... till what? Till you die and you're gone from here and you leave it all behind? Keep on struggling and keep on suffering and keep on sorrowing till what? Till you go to the grave and eternal suffering? And then it's all vanity? You see, folks, this little word is a great divider. This little word speaks volumes about life and death and what is to come. And for every person in the room here who knows the Lord, God wants you to know that whatever heartache and sorrow or difficulty lies before you, just wait. But also, whatever joy or blessing or goodness you see now in your life, oh, just wait. And also, whatever hope or anticipation or promise that you're looking toward, just wait. Wait, because everything in the Christian life is followed with a word, till. Ye do show the Lord's death. Yes, we do at communion. Ye do show the Lord's death, and those words are dark and dreary and ominous. We know what the Lord's death was all about, but what does he say? Till he come. There are three things I want us to consider as great lessons presented in this word, in this text. The first one you'll notice, number one, is a lesson of perseverance. We're in Philippians 1, right? Look at Philippians 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things, that's talking about discernment, approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense, till the day of Christ. Now, wait a minute. Note this. The Apostle Paul, who's writing these words, can I just tell you, remind you? He's writing them from a prison cell. He tells these Philippian believers to use judgment and to use discernment. In verse 7, you'll notice, he talks about, quote, the defense of the gospel against enemies. In verse 13 and verse 16, he speaks of bonds and afflictions, all of which were a result of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is to say that Paul's great ministry for our Lord was an often difficult path. But wait a minute. Pastor Blaylock, that's not what I hear on TV. That's not what I see in the very front side of the Christian bookstore. Adversaries, bonds, afflictions. Verse 30 says, quote, conflict. And yes, God says to persevere through all of this, what? Till. But not just till glory or till heaven. The verse specifically says till the day of Christ. Why the day of Christ? Well, for me, it's very simple. Because, beloved, at that day, all of the wrongs will be made right. At that day, justice and righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. In fact, Ezekiel talked about that day, and he too used the word till. Here's what he said in Ezekiel 21:27. There shall be no king till he come whose right it is. In other words, a lot of people these days are in a lot of positions of authority when in fact they have no right to be in authority. A lot of earthly kings, a lot of earthly leaders, including in this country, have no moral, spiritual, legal, natural right to execute decisions of justice and judgment on other people. They're the wrong people in the seats of power, and that crown on their head is not, that head is not worthy to bear that crown. That's the way it's always been. And that is the way that it's going to remain till the day of Christ, when he whose right it is will rule and reign forever. And so God says to us, fight the good fight. Endure afflictions. Defend the gospel. He says, approve, discern, judge, and continue to do so till the day of Christ, till God himself executes justice and judgment in this land. In fact, over the whole earth. As it is now, the Bible says, truth has fallen in the street. And that's what the scripture describes as that truth has fallen in the street. Good men are having their reputations and characters assassinated by much lesser men who have access to a keyboard and a blog. And it's not right. Decent people are attacked and slimed and lied about, while truly bad people are promoted and praised and protected. And when I hear people in entertainment and media who've lived lives of self-indulgence and narcissistic pursuits making tens of millions of dollars with their celebrity and fame, and when I hear them use their God-given abilities to destroy people and the principles and the things that honor God, I'm reminded that they're only doing so till the day of Christ. The choir sings, bow the knee. He is king of all the ages. And Ron Hamilton's lyrics, for some people, are a mockery. Nobody's bowing in America. But I'm reminded that is only till, because one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. See, Pastor, the most obvious, the most self-evident reality in the universe is that there is a creator. It's indisputable. And yet it is endlessly disputed in our society, beginning with our little ones, even in kindergarten. I know that. I went to public school just 20 miles north of here, high school. I was spoon-fed nothing but evolutionary theory as fact day after day. I've watched scores of episodes of National Geographic and Nature and Bill Nye and Planet Earth promote these vague theories, but always as some sort of a fact. And it's hard to stomach sometimes. It's hard to stomach that the truth never seems to be pursued. I remember a few years ago, and the reason I was reminded of this is because an article just came out this week about it, but years ago, two paleontologists found a fossil of a fish. It was actually a fish fin by the highway in Pennsylvania. And 5 years, 5 years after studying this fish fin, they finally figured out what it was. They said that it was a fish with fingers, little fingers, almost like yours and mine. And for 30 minutes, they spoke on national television as if their idea, as if their theory was a fact. Paleontologist was asked to explain why a fish would need fingers in the water 20 million years before it would ever be on land. And in this press conference, you know what the answer was from that paleontologist? He said, quote, they evolved fingers because evolution knew that one day they would need them. Now, obviously, he's not going to say the fish knew it. So they personify evolution. Somehow, how does a fish know that in 20 million years it's going to need fingers and decides to start that process that far in advance? How come there are no fish with fingers today? Although grouper fingers are delicious. I love those. All the fish in the world are content in Pennsylvania, that they more content than the fish millions of years ago. Look, it's foolishness. It's falsehood. It's deceit. But for those 30 minutes, I remember in that press conference, not one single word of refutation. And yet in just recent days, finally comes a little piece of knowledge, an article that said that entire thing was basically a joke. A fraud, And that's the way it always is. Why? Because this world and its educational institutions and its political institutions and its entertainment institutions and its social institutions, this world is in a long war and a rebellion against God. And it always will be till the day of Christ. When the Creator himself, whose right it is to rule and reign, until Jesus comes and executes that right. So you see, beloved, what God is saying in our text and throughout his word is that this little word till changes everything for a believer. Changes everything for a child of the living God. It is a reminder that God's divine clock is winding down. Don't fret so much. Defend. Take a stand. You know, some of you may remember Dean Smith. He had basketball fans, the four-corner strategy. Whenever his Tar Heels were ahead in the game, it was a great idea. And his teams, you know, executed it to perfection. They would just basically play keep away. And it made for frustrating, tedious basketball. Just playing keep away and running out the time. And sometimes a player would literally just stand there. And then they instituted the 24-second clock. I think it's 24 seconds from the time it touches the offense's hand until it touches the rim. So now, no more four corners, no more stalling as long as you want, no more boring, frustrating offense. Because now there were time limits on what the offense could do. Well, I am often reminded of Revelation 12:12, which says this: "The devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." His time is running out. In other words, two things are taught in the word till. Two things that we know. Number one, Satan's on a 24-second clock. So that all of his, he's the prince of the power of the air, his institutions and his lies and his kingdom, it is all winding down. That's number one. But number two, we also know that when it winds down, he's going to miss the shot. In fact, if you read Revelation 19 and 20, you realize how drastically he misses the shot. It's a brick, an eternal brick. So you know what God says to us? He says, persevere. Don't lose heart and don't lose hope. If you're tired and you're sore and you're injured and you're beat up, keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Don't ever be overly discouraged, because the whole conflict is till. Till what, Pastor? Till Jesus wins. Someone says, Pastor, it sure would be nice if we lived in a Judeo-Christian nation and if the truth would rule in our land. It sure would be nice if sin and sorrow and sickness were gone. And it would be nice if Jesus held the scepter of his kingdom. It sure would be nice if the adversary were already chained in the abyss. Wouldn't that be nice, Pastor? I just can't wait. Two answers to that. Number one, it is going to be nice. And number two, you can wait. We don't always want to wait, but we can wait. As a matter of fact, in Jesus' parable of the tares in Luke 19, he says that we are commanded to do something. He says, occupy till he comes. Occupy till he comes. Perseverance. That's number one, till he comes. The second thing you'll notice is the word perfection. That is, till we come. Turn back a few pages. In fact, just a couple. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 4, would you? Ephesians 4 and verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." This is God's gift to the local church. Why? For verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ," here it is, "till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now, I think most of you here knows that the word perfect or perfection is talking about maturing, completing, advancing, if you will, continuing to as a child of God. And what God's telling us with the word till here in verse 13 is that we are all as Christians now journeying in that direction. We are all going to come to the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Essentially, it is growing in grace till we enter the state of glory. But note this. The word till in verse 13 is the antecedent of verse 12, specifically the word perfecting, for the perfecting of the saints till we all come. In other words, here it is. The perfecting of the saints through the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ are exactly what we are supposed to do until we come to glory, so that it is a reminder that none of us are perfect, but none of us are finished yet either. Nobody in this room has arrived. Something is coming to us that is true, but we are coming to something as well. And the admonition is, keep on praying. Keep on pressing on the upward way. New heights gaining every day. Never, beloved, never become indifferent about your own personal growth in Jesus Christ. David asked once, is there not a cause? And the answer is yes, there's always a cause when it comes to our Lord. Last night, Ben and I were out, and I noticed a guy with a petition. He had a t-shirt on that said, "Stop eating shark fin soup." Big black letters on a white shirt. You know, that gets your attention. Stop eating shark fin soup. And of course, I'll sign that. I mean, I've never had shark fin soup. I'm sure it's yummy, but it's easy to give up something you don't do, right? But I walked away and I thought, you know, at least that guy, and I don't know what it is, I don't know, shark fin, I'm sure it's a problem. Shark finning is growing, I don't know. But I thought to myself, at least he has a cause. And he's not ashamed of it. He has a cause and he's not ashamed of it. I just want to remind us here as believers that you have an eternal, an unending cause. Every Christian has a divine calling. The tragedy is when others are more zealous for their temporal things than we are for the things of God. A couple days ago, I was sitting in a cafe and I was studying, and this guy walks in. He's huge. I mean, muscle, swole, giant. He's about 6'4", but he's got tree trunks for arms and just a big muscle man. And he sits in, I'm in a little booth and I got my stuff here, and he sits in the booth with his back to me, right in front of me. And of course, there's muscles. He's wearing a tank top, obviously. All that work, you know, everybody's got to see it. And he's got muscles on his shoulders that I didn't even know existed. So I thought to myself, I can't wait to hear what he orders, because it's going to be a mountain of protein. And it was, it really was. But it wasn't what he ordered, it was how he ordered. The server came up, my server as well, but the server came up and she looked, she was kind of taken aback, because I mean, he's imposing. And he says, "Yeah, I'd like some fresh squeezed orange juice." And I thought, ooh, fresh squeezed. Wonder what I got, because I didn't order fresh squeezed orange juice. No kidding. He says, "Fresh squeezed orange juice." And then he says, "And some farm fresh eggs and some oven baked biscuits." I mean, he was ordering like it was the brochure for the menu, for the food. And I was starting to laugh, honestly, until I saw those mountain ranges on his shoulder. And yeah, I was tempted to say to the server, "Could I have some oven baked spinach puffs, please? You bring me those," but I'd afraid he'd beat me to death or squash me or something. But I got to tell you, as I sat there, I thought, you know, this guy, with all these adjectives, this guy's really serious about his food and his fitness. You see the word there in verse 12? It says, edify, you know, it means to build. That's why we use the word edifice for a building. It means to build. And then you see in the same verse the word body. There's your body building. And as I sat there, I thought to myself, imagine if we could see with our eyes how fit we are in our spirit, in our soul. If with our human eyes we could look at someone and not see how fit they are physically, but really see everybody, one another, how fit we are, how much we've been in the gym on a spiritual level, spiritual food, spiritual fitness. Because the scripture is clear that our growth in the Lord Jesus never stops. And I want to speak to those who are members here at Beacon Baptist for a moment. And you've been saved 20 years and 25 and 30 years, maybe even 15 years. And you think, you know what, I've got as much or more Bible knowledge than the person behind me or in front of me or my neighbor. I just want to encourage you that your spiritual knowledge of Christ, it talks about the knowledge of the Lord here. That we never stop growing till, now here's the measurement, till we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And of course, that's one reason why you're here today, or at least it ought to be the reason you're here today. Which leads us very quickly to a final lesson. We said, number one, there's a lesson of perseverance. Number two, of perfection. Number three, there's a lesson of patience. You see the words in verse 13, it says, till we all come. Do you know what that means? And you know what that means to me as a pastor? It means we're all imperfect. That we're all under progress. Be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. That old bumper sticker from years ago. It means that we are all in this room as children of God. All of us are under construction. We are all works in progress, which means we all need to be patient in the work of God and with the people of God. Pastor, he's annoying. I know, and so are you. Till we're not. Till we're not. Patience. And by the way, it also includes patience with God's timing. Kim Jong-un is a brutal, oppressive tyrant. Yes, he is. Till he's not. This guy's gotten away with horrible acts. Well, he has, till he hasn't. Pastor, I'm poor and tired and sick and hurting. And yes, it may be true that you are, but only till you're not. And all of this is just till he comes. So let us be patient with God's timing. Let us be patient with one another. Let us be patient with our spiritual growth. But never quitting. Not even slowing down. And then, those in this room that we mentioned earlier who cannot rejoice in the word, just wait. Words, just wait. Just wait till you die. Those are not comforting words for most people. And some people in this room. But you can be used as a tool. As Brother Weaver mentioned this morning in Sunday school, you can be that light, that little light, that brings that one and other sons to glory. And for those in this room who don't know that you're saved, today's the day of salvation for you. Let's bow our heads, shall we? Father in heaven, I pray you'll bless the invitation and how we thank you for your word. And how often, sometimes, a very familiar text, such as Paul's teaching on the Lord's Supper, we just pass over some of the most important words, some of the most glorious words that include great promises. Thank you that what we are doing, even when we have communion, and that we remember the death of our Lord, it's only till he comes. That evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, but only till the day of Christ. And that we will continue to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord till we come to that fullness and the stature of Christ. I pray, Father, those who've asked for prayer, you'll strengthen them, Lord. Anyone who's lost, convict them, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.